Amen. Let's just lift our hands and just thank God. Just thank Him for His goodness to all of us. Just bless Him. This beautiful day that He's blessed us all to see. Bless Him for the privilege He's afforded us to be able to come and assemble in the house of God once again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter number 17. Gospel of John, chapter number 17. Gospel of John, chapter number 17. Verses 20 through verse number 23. Gospel of John, chapter number 17. Verses 20 through verse number 23. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come into the house of God on today. And I would say to you as your pastor, you all really need to pray for leadership. I read an article this week about a pastor in Illinois who committed suicide. This is about the fourth pastor this year who have done such. He mentioned that he was hearing his late wife's voice and heard footsteps. And it really frightened him to such a degree that he put a gun to his head and blew his brains out. And we hear more and more of these things happening. And people don't realize, I'm not saying that that's what you should do when you hear voices, you hear certain sounds, but people don't realize the pressure that it takes to stay in this place and to serve God's people. So I don't want you to think that I have some thoughts of doing some things. I kind of like living. I kind of like getting up in the morning and seeing the sunshine around. Snow, and I enjoy coming to the house of God and being in your presence, but I want you to understand there are certain pressures that ministry has to deal with through the week. So don't think for one moment that I stand up here with an invisible S on my chest. There's no such thing. I'm a man of like passions, just like you. I get disappointed, I get upset, I get hurt, but at the end of the day, I understand that God is still good. And I'm saying to pray for leadership because, you know, when these things happen, the enemy has a field day and it causes some to really wonder what is going on. So pray for that church, that church family that lost their pastor, that God will cover them and strengthen them and sustain them. Pray for leadership everywhere that will stay on the wall.
Amen.
Amen. And don't get caught into looking at things and being blocked and distracted by other things, but stay focused on the purpose that God has for us. Amen. But I was in the office just meditating over something when Adam McKim sent the text to me. I guess he was texting the church. Like, how is he doing his wife? He lead worship. So he can multitask. God bless him. But I'm mindful of the fact that when I look at this text, that we pray to God and we petition God to answer our prayer. But I look at this text and God has prayed for us. And He's looking for us to answer His prayer. And that's kind of strange. Why would God pray on our behalf because He's looking for us to help him make his heart happy. Because what I saw yesterday was we made God's heart happy. I looked at the stats and I was very fascinated because, like I said, we pray to God and we ask him to do things for us. And here's one example in the scripture where God is praying for us and he's asking us to do something for him.
Uh-huh.
All right? John chapter 17. St. John chapter 17, or the Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 20, down to verse number 23. I want to see something very fascinating here. I also understand, because I understand that my son and I, we had to talk a few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, and talking about the upcoming watch night service, and hadn't really thought about some things. And we were just thinking that, you know, rather than have this group meeting here, this group meeting there, why can't we all come together?
Amen.
And I said, you know, contact Pastor Steve and see what they're doing, because I know they meet at independent school on Sunday, but I know with the school being shut down during the Christmas holiday, they probably cannot have a watch night service unless they get a hotel. They probably, they get a hotel, they may not be able to afford it, because most hotels are renting out for people to have parties. And you're not going to be able to get in certain places this time of year unless you made a reservation almost a year before. So, you know, we decided, let's come together. Let's come together and worship the Lord together.
Amen.
It makes more sense. Everybody hear me? Then to, you know, say, let's do our thing and they do their thing and be scattered.
Yeah.
Or divided.
Yeah.
Because the enemy likes it when we're divided.
Yes.
Can I say that again? The enemy likes it when we're divided. He gets glory when we're divided and scattered. Divided by our opinions, our feelings, our worship, all those things. But the Lord gets glory when we can come together and gather together and understand it's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about him.
Amen.
That's when he gets the glory.
Amen.
All right? So we're going to talk this morning, we're going to talk about the importance of unity. The importance of unity. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world, this is key, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This particular passage of scripture, I want to give clarity right off the bat, is really the 17th chapter of John's gospel, is the Lord's Prayer. What you read in Matthew chapter number 6 is not the Lord's Prayer. In your Bible, it will say the Lord's Prayer. But it is, Matthew chapter 6 is simply a model, or it gives you a blueprint of how to go to God in prayer. But when we read St. John chapter 17, this is actually when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before going to Calvary. He prays in verses 1 through 5 for himself, in verses 6 through 19 for those disciples that are there, and then verse number 20 down to verse 26, he prays for you and I. This is where he intercedes. He stands in the gap for you and I. I need to make it very plain that I am not one who fosters the belief that God designed denominations.
Right.
Church of God in Christ, Church of the Living God, Church of God Triumphant, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, Pentecostal Churches of the Apostolic Faith. These were not God's design.
That's right. That's right.
These were things that man designed.
Right. Right.
These were denominations, let me say this, are not scriptural.
That's right.
I'm going to say that again. Denominations are not scriptural. Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, all those are labels. And denominations that God did not design.
Yes.
I want to say something. Someone asked me recently, do you fellowship? I guess they were trying to get him to understand for me. Do you worship with Baptists? Do you worship with Methodists? Do you worship with Presbyterians? I said, most certainly I do.
Mm-hmm.
Would you go to their churches? Yes, I do. Would you invite them? Yes, I have.
Yes.
Because God is not coming back for denomination. I know, being raised Apostolic Pentecostal, how we were taught. And we were taught to bully up and berate everybody else who wasn't like us. And because they weren't like us, they were going to hell. Because they didn't speak in tongues, because they weren't baptized in the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, because they weren't baptized in Jesus' name. We were right and everybody else was wrong. But as I look over the landscape of things, the landscape is shifting. And it's changed dramatically. A few years ago, I was at this Baptist church, and if I closed my eyes, you would thought you were at one of our churches. Because I heard people speaking in tongues. I saw people rejoicing. And you couldn't tell me it was fake. I believed it was real. I have friends who are Catholic, who are what they call charismatic Catholic, which means they go to Mass, but they speak in tongues. We got people in this community who are what they may call themselves Methodists or whatever else, Amesite, but they got the Holy Ghost here. Y'all remember a few years ago, we had a mass baptism? Pastor Taylor brought members from our church here to baptize them. In Jesus' name. Now somebody said, well, why did he stay here? Why did he go to her? Because God has a way that's mighty sweet. And he has other sheep that are not of this fold. But he's going to bring them in. But God is not, God by design did not set up these things called denominations. Because at the end of the day, we're believers. Uh-oh. And some of y'all won't be surprised when you get to heaven to find out who made it and who didn't. I'm going to say it again. Some people think because they have a certain sign on the door that this is the right church and that's the wrong one. But you're going to find at the end of the day, God is not coming back for denominations. He's coming back for a people who are believers. Not by the title, but believers by their faith. I know I may get in trouble for this. I don't care. But at the end of the day, God is looking for us to be unified. Going into 2014, the Lord's really impressed upon me to reach out to some of our brothers. When I say brothers, I didn't say brothers of like precious faith. Because some of them I don't want around here. When I say brothers, I'm talking about people like Doug Sterling and Pastor Guthridge, because these are people who have a heart for God. And have a heart for God's people. They may not be apostolic, they may not be Pentecostal, but they are believers. And God, notice this. God gets glory when the Baptists that are Baptists, the Pentecostals that are Pentecostal, the Apostolic that are Apostolic, can all gather and be together and get along. But you know what happens? Because we like to be segregated by theology. I'm going to say that. Some people are segregated by theology. Some people, okay, beyond the title, beyond the denomination, you want to wreck a good friendship? Talk about women in ministry.
That's right.
Some churches are still stuck in certain places that a woman's place is in the kitchen, not in the pulpit. So they'll let them wear a white missionary, they'll let them cook grub for them, but they won't let them serve up holy grub. Because a woman is not called to preach because of their denomination or because of their scriptural understanding. But God's saying, later for all that, I didn't come back for a segregated group of people. There's not going to be in heaven apostolics over here. Methodists over there. Presbyterians over there. We're all going to be gathered together. I know this may be kind of rough for some of y'all, but understand, God is about unity.
Yes.
And he thrives when we can all come together and worship together and understand that it's about him. Then he says something here that's very key and very powerful. The world needs to see that the church can get together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Why is it that the world can pull their limited resources together and make something powerful happen? I remember growing up in North Philadelphia and before coming out this way, in the late 70s, early 80s, West Philadelphia began to go through a transformation. It began to change from being predominantly black to being more Asian. And where you used to go, okay, quiet, where you used to go, you can find a lot of black folk, now you find a lot of Asian. And I watched how they came into our communities and they got housing, they established businesses. And the one thing I noticed about them that you couldn't find too many of us doing, they would have 10 of them in a house. You can't get two of us in a house. They would have 10 of them in a house. And what the cycle would be, when one got enough resources, got up on his feet, he would go out, and then someone else would come in, they would go out, and someone else would come in, and do what they would do, they would take their resources and open up shops. Because they know black folk like chicken wings. They would set up shops in our communities. And now, you go to those same areas, now the landscape has changed. They're not just business owners, now they're homeowners. And not just homeowners, multiple business owners. The place we used to live in, where Mark and Chandler grew up on Mill Road, when we sold that place, we sold it to an Indian couple. And couldn't sell it initially because the man wasn't a citizen. But when I looked at it, I'm like, wait a minute. This man got two gas stations. He got a 7-Eleven. He got a Dunkin' Donut. And we can't sell the business to him because he wasn't a citizen. I'm like, wait a minute. How in the world can he not be a citizen and can't buy a house, but he can set up shop? It says something about getting along. When we as a people, I'm not talking about black or white, I'm not talking about believers, when we can get along and pull our resources together, it gives glory to God, but it also shows the world that, hey, there's something to that thing called salvation.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
But the more we bicker and fight over who's going to be the next bishop,
right. Yes, that's right.
Or who's going to be the next pastor,
yeah.
It creates more disturbance, and people want, I don't want no part of that. Because if you say God is love, why can't y'all love each other?
Amen.
So Jesus prays here that we all would be one. As I sat back there with Deacon Reed just there, we were sitting back, he probably was sitting back there wondering, what was Pastor sitting back here doing too? I was sitting back there observing, and I'm looking, like, ushers got on black and white. All the ushers got on black and white. Deacons are in their place. And it came to me. We all came from this church. And we're all family. So it shouldn't be a hardship to get along. I went away feeling like Bishop Bowers met me in the hallway, and he said, "Pastor, thank you for the use of your church." And he said, "Thank you for just the sweet." He said, "It was just a sweet spirit in here." And I said, "Lord, thank you," because it was no more than as I when I set up the mandate. I said, "I want everybody in the place. I want everybody positioned because we're going to show love in a classy way." That's what it's all about. And the family was blessed. They had to do what they need to do at the time they need to do it. But, you know, they said, "We open up our doors." Well, guess what? This is home.
Yes, it is.
The door's always open. That's the approach we should take. But, saints of God, let's not let our feelings, our emotions, our anger, whether it's justified or not justified, get in the way of what God wants to do through us. I believe we passed a major test yesterday and crossed over a major hurdle. Because when we can gather together and put aside differences, put aside opinions, put aside feelings, and understand it's about ministry, then God is glorified. Because He wants us to be one. He doesn't like it that we're scattered because of differences. He doesn't like that we're scattered because someone wants to be large and in charge. At the end of the day, if God doesn't show up, it doesn't matter how many church doors you open.
That's right.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. God's praying for you. This was His prayer. For you. He saw you in 2013 and He saw where you would be. He saw your assignment. He knows your purpose. And all He wants you to do is just strive to get along with your brother and sister. There cannot be, let me say something. When there's a spirit of unity, there cannot be no spirit of competition coexisting. Unity, what's the strength of unity? Love. That's the force that motivates us to come together. Having been raised in church most of my life on the camp, I know there are two places that you can really start a war. That's in the kitchen and in the choir meeting. You want to start a war, start it in the kitchen over whether it be a slice of cake or the size of a chicken. We started in the choir room, or choir rehearsal, over the choice of song or the choice of color.
Wow.
I've been around y'all long enough, I know some things. But at the end of the day, it's not about who gets what or who deserves what. God gets the glory.
Amen.
Jesus prayed. He prayed for us. And like I said earlier, we pray to Him, "Lord, do this, Lord, do that." And when He answers prayer, we're so excited. But guess what? The Lord's saying to us right now, "I'm counting on you to make a difference. I'm looking to you to set the bar high. I'm looking for you to be the example." Later for titles, later for positions, understand it's about giving me the glory. I have learned that the Word of God is so true, Mumsy. I've gone to several major functions this year for pastors. Most notably, in July, one pastor, he opened up his doors to a new church. We went in to help him celebrate his church dedication. And there's a passage of scripture that says when you go to a great feast, I'm just paraphrasing, take the lowest seat, lest the more man more honorable than you comes in afterward, and you're asked to, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, you're asked to give up your seat for that person. And I noticed that oftentimes people that want to be noticed and want to be recognized jockey and run for the chief seats. They do. They really do. So on this particular occasion, we were at this church and Pastor Powell's church in Logan, and I purposely, I was there with Bishop Todd and all the other ones, and I said, I'll sit in the audience. I don't, everybody wanted to go to the pool. Everybody was in the pulpit with their legs crossed, and you see how deep, you know, how prolific they were. So I said, no, I'll sit at the audience. Well, Bishop Adele, another bishop came in about 15 minutes later, and some of the guys like myself who, you know, want to, you know, some of the guys my age, I should say this, who want to be recognized, they were asked to give up their seats. For people like Bishop Adele and another bishop that came, Bishop Brands. And one of my friends had the nerve to even say, well, I came early and he's late. Well, you're 30 years younger than him. It may take him longer to get himself together to go to church. It don't matter. Give up your seat. This is what I'm saying. We live in a day and time where people are jockeying for position and power and influence rather than giving God the glory. I was at Pastor Trout's church last weekend in Elton and was there for Sister Winter's service. And he called me brother over the pulpit. Didn't bother me. One of the ministers from Bishop Todd's church said, don't he know you're over there? I'm like, it don't matter. At the end of the day, I'm his brother. We allow so many small things to divide us. If I was, like I said, if I was a person who was wrapped up in the titles and positions, I would have, Reverend Trout, you missed it. But it's not about your position and title. It's about understanding about what you're there for. You're there to serve. When we get the glory, God's not going to say, well done, Archbishop. Well done, Apostle. He's going to say, well done, our good and faithful servant. So many things we allow to divide us, but Jesus prayed that we would come together. Verse 21, he says, I pray that they all may be one. I'm praying that they would all unify on one purpose. Not unify for bling bling, not unify for names, not unify for stuff, but unify on this purpose of the saving of souls. This should be the hallmark of all of our ministry. This should be the hallmark of what we do. It's about souls. It's not about a suit.
That's right.
It's not about a position.
Yeah.
It's not about stuff. It's about souls. Yesterday's service was about souls. It wasn't about who's right and who's wrong. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't about who's right and who's wrong. It's about souls. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world, here it is, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world is looking at us. Believe it or not, the world looks at you every day you go to work. Every day you go to school. Every day you go to different parts of your community, the world's looking at you to see if you are really what you profess that you are. And they're looking to see how you personify Christ, most notably by loving people who are not lovable. Uh-oh. This may be something to help you, Mumsy. My dad used to say this. He said, hug a bug. He wasn't referring to a literal bug. He was referring to people that bug you. He's a hugger. That will disengage what you feel about them. Because oftentimes, what we need to pray for is, Lord, save them. Lord, deliver them. What we may need to pray for, Lord, deliver me. The way I see them. Because the way I perceive them may not be correct. So hug a bug, please. So God wants us to come together for the purpose of unity so that the world can see a difference in us. He prayed for this and he prayed for us. And once again, God is not glorified when we are divided. He's not glorified when we're fussing and fighting with each other. But he gets glory when we can put our differences aside and come and gather together and love on each other and love him. Because the greatest barometer of our love for God is our love toward each other. You can't tell me you love Sister you love God and you can't stand Sister McKim. You can't. God's not the right. You can't. Let me bring you closer to home. You can't say, oh, I love me some other McKim. But Sister McKim, y'all got to pray my strength to the Lord with her. Something's wrong. Christ is not divided. If you love the Lord and you love his people, that's coming together. Now, here's something else about unity. The scripture says, I was glad when he said it to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us go. Sometimes we're divided in ourselves. Uh-oh. Our bodies are here, but our mind is outside. Is it snowing? Somebody already answered. I didn't ask y'all to fill it in. But even if it is, I'm inside. My mind and my body got to be here. My body's got to be here, but my mind can't be on the forecast. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So although it may be snowing outside, because I'm in the house, my mind and my body are going to say, Lord, you're good. Yes. Not my mind is here, but my body's, Lord, what's going on? I got to get out of here. I ain't got snow tires. Got to get home. I ain't got my milk. I ain't got my bread. So we got to be one. In spirit, one in our heart, one in our mind, and most of all, focus on the Lord. I'm not going to keep y'all long. I'm realist. I'm spiritual, but I understand some things, y'all. If I talk too long, I'm going to see a lot of this going on. I got it. Trust me. I understand. I really do. But I want us to be unified and come together so that, once again, God gets the glory. Because on my way here, I was fast, oh Lord, this means some folk ain't coming out today.
Wow.
Like I said, I'm a realist. This means some folk ain't coming out today. But the Lord spoke to me, oh, that's okay, because if the folk ain't coming out today, they will go to work tomorrow. If they want to work tomorrow, they'll go to some mall. If they got an appointment to get their hair and nails done, they'll do that. Ouch. So God wants us to be unified. He wants us to come together so that the world can see a difference in us. But most notably, he gets glory when we can gather and assemble together. I had an opportunity last year about this time to go to my first classical musical performance at the Kimmel. And that scripture that says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it takes apart, it talks about different instruments. And I noticed before the performance, Mama Z, that the musicians were tuning up. Those on the oboe were tuning, doing their thing. Those on the bass, those on the woodwind, they were tuning up. But when it all came together, it was such a beautiful, sweet sound.
Amen. Amen.
And God is saying, some of us, we're spiritual oboes. Some of us are woodwinds. Some of us are brass. But when we all come together in unity, it goes up as a wonderful orchestration of praise.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath. The instruments were just releasing their praise to God. And it was wonderful. The praise and worship team wasn't all tenors. Wasn't all sopranos. Wasn't all altos. Different voices blending in harmony, coming together to bless God. what would have happened if Sister Wendy said, turn my mic up, I can't hear myself? Or Desiree said, turn mine up, I can't hear myself because you too loud. Or Deacon Mark said, turn both your mics up, I can't hear myself. What it's about? Unity. Blessing the Lord together. Verse 22, and the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I want to look at one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to turn there real quick. At the end of the day, we're all family. Nobody's blood is a different color than anybody else's. Different blood types, but still the same color. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all been made to drink into one Spirit. One. Not two, not three, one. God is coming back for a church, not churches. He's not a spiritual polygamist. He's coming back for one bride. Not brides, one bride. He's coming back for a church that understands the importance of unity. Like I said, I'm godly proud of you all. Godly proud. For the sake of understanding that it's not about us. It's about giving Him the glory. It's about showing the love of God. Despite and in spite of any differences any of us may have with another person. And understanding most notably that we're all family. We're all family. And I'm finding that to be true, having lived in this community for several years. You don't know who knows who. Who's connected to who. Because we're all family. I said, man, it'd be nice for somebody to find, to have a connection with me. Well, it happened. So, Dorothy Martin, when she was at TikTok, she said, I ran into a cousin of yours. There, Tough Kinnaman. I ain't got no people on Tough Kinnaman. She said, yeah, I ran into one of your cousins. I'm like, a cousin of mine? She said, yeah, your cousin came over and he helped get rid of some bugs. I'm like, what cousin I had? Get rid of some bugs. She said, you have a cousin named Carl Hennigan, right? I'm like, yeah, that is my cousin. Because she said, I was talking, she said, you kind of talk like this guy I know named Avery. And he was, my cousin was like, Avery who? Mark Avery. He said, oh yeah, that's my cousin. I'm like, okay. So now the reality became reality for me. Because I've talked to people that, oh, that's my cousin. I'm like, huh? Bowers, Reeves, McKim's, somebody else, Norton, somebody else. There's a lot of intertwinement. Because we're all family. And the differences that take place oftentimes, God says we still need to learn how to navigate through the differences and understand that we're one. So stand. Join hands with somebody real quick. We're going to offer prayer for one another, but also we're going to offer prayer for the Turner Boyer family, for the passing of Aunt Frances, and know, many of us will be going to the service this afternoon, this evening. I'm just going to ask that God will cover First Lady Turner, Elder Boyer, and Eric in prayer, and all family members that are connected to Aunt Frances. I remember I was thinking the other day when I got the word about her passing, she always made it clear to me to refer to her as Aunt Frances. And she would always love on me in that way. And I'm saying that to say this, this past week, over a 7-day period, I have attended, today will be my fourth funeral in 7 days. And people are leaving here at a rapid pace. And despite any differences, I'm sorry, this will be my fifth, because yesterday was my fourth. Despite any differences that we may have with each other, at the end of the day, God wants us all to get along.
That's right.
And sometimes, this is something the Lord spoke to me yesterday, Deacon Box, sometimes God uses death to bring us together. He'll use death to pull us together, bring us together, so we understand this is something very key, that we need each other.
That's right.
I'm speaking from a perspective of having lost several family members last year, having lost friends this year, and one common theme in it all is death will show up when it wants to show up.
That's right.
And you cannot allow whatever differences you may have, whatever hostilities you have, to hinder you, because I've seen family members who could not get along for years, chose not to, chose not to get along for years. When someone significant in the family died, they had to be there for each other. Because God says, when you came here, you didn't come by yourself. When you leave here, you're not going to leave here by yourself. You're going to need some love in the interim. So let's pray for one another. When I say pray for one another, pray for this church. There are several of our family members that are sick, some that are recuperating from surgeries and so forth, some that still need us to intercede for them. We still need to pray, because in the midst of all the transitions and all the things that are taking place, God is still blessing. And he's looking for us, notice this now, he's looking for us to be that unified coalition. When I think about this, I thought about Nelson Mandela, who passed this week. All that he went through, and all the harsh, unfair treatment that he received. One thing that I studied and read about him, he did not hold bitterness in his heart toward those that held him captive, mistreated him all those years. And think about this. One man who spent 27 years in prison is now known and recognized around the world. Think about that. All because, and people say, I can't make a difference. Yes, you can. We know the Lord. And notice, if you will, the people that we recognize in history that are very prominent are peaceable people. Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa. People that know the scriptures and live by the principle of peace. It made a great difference. What more can you and I do? We got the Holy Ghost. No. Grudges is like garbage, saints. You can't hold on to it. Let it go. Can't be upset with stuff, with people. Let it go. Father, we thank you. We bless your great name this morning for your love and kindness toward us. Thank you for this great church. These are great people. And we bless your name, Lord, because you have been so good. You've been so merciful to each and every one of us. And Father, as we stand as a body of believers, we pray that we can make your heart smile by exhibiting and manifesting the spirit of love and unity toward each other. Most notably, Lord, even to those that we may not agree with, those that may despitefully use us, even our detractors, our critics, Lord, help us to show forth the love of God And to, at the end of the day, understand that it's not about us. It's not about our feelings. It's not about our thoughts. It's not about our perceptions. But it's about giving you the glory by being obedient to your word. I pray a blessing upon every home, upon every family, upon every soul that's represented right now. Remember those that are sick, oh God, in our midst. Remember Sister Anna Anderson. Remember Sister Catherine Warren. Remember Sister Tonda Hawkins, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Sister Emily Jones, Sister Anna Jones, right now. Lord, strengthen them, cover them, raise them up, oh God. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus. And Father, we pray right now for First Lady Karen Turner. We pray for Elder William Boyer right now, Brother Eric Boyer. Lord, that you would comfort them, that you would strengthen them. And all the family, oh God, that's affected by the loss of our dear Aunt Frances, oh God. We pray for your peace. We pray for your comfort. We pray for your strength, even right now, in the mighty and precious name of Jesus. Lord, be glorified in us. Be glorified in our love toward each other. Be glorified in our worship. Be glorified in our service. Be glorified in our praise, in our songs, oh God. But most notably, be glorified in our walk daily, Lord Jesus. Continue, oh God, to bless this great church. Continue to bless these, our great people. Every deacon, every trustee, every minister, every saint, every young person, every seasoned saint. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, bless us all in our going out. Bless us all in our coming in. Bless us all in the city. Bless us and make us a blessing in the precious and mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. For this, oh God, we give you the glory, the honor and praise, and we thank you, oh God, for trusting us. We thank you, oh God, for giving us the tools, for giving us the resources to make your prayer a reality. Lord, as we pray to you, Lord, we recognize that you pray for us, and you're praying for us, and you're looking for us to make a difference, to make a difference, oh God, in the lives of those that we impact, in the lives of those that we touch daily. In Jesus' name, we thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Let's all stand. Father, we thank and praise you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this privilege that you have afforded us to be able to come, gather, and assemble together in your house once again. Father, we pray that we would honor your prayer, we would honor your request, that we would be a people that walk in unity, that promote unity, that practice unity among our brothers and our sisters, that you would be glorified, and that the world would see that we are indeed believers, that we are indeed Christians, that we are disciples of Christ. I pray that you will bless each and every one as they take leave from this place, covering each vehicle with your blood. Bless each of us in our travels. Help us to arrive at our destination safely. We'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor, and we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.